Please open your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes, the sixth chapter, page 700 in your Schofield Reference Bible. Ecclesiastes chapter 6. We'll read the first three verses. There are only three verses, so we'll read them in unison. And then we'll turn to one other scripture following that. Shall we stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God? Now would you please join me in the reading of these verses. Ready? There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. A man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth. Yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity, and it is an evil disease. If a man beget 100 children, and live many years, so that the days of his years be many, and his soul be not filled with good, and also that he have no burial, I say that an untimely birth is better than he. Now turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 28, in your Schofield Bible, page 248. 248, 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, and the 67th verse. Verse 67. Likewise, we'll read this verse in unison. Let's begin. In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were even. And at even thou shalt say, would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. And let's pray. And Father, what a good place we're in. This place is very, very special to many, many of us here this morning. And we'd rather be here than anywhere else in the world. Thank you for our church. Thank you for the leadership here. Thank you especially for our preacher. Thank you that we can come expecting good things, helpful things. Thank you for that which is applicable to our lives, practical. And always we come expecting the blessing and going home satisfied that you have met with us. Do it again, dear Lord. Do it again this morning. Please, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
The time Brother Alter sings, I have the same thought. That's the way I want to sing when I get to heaven. I often think about that. But of course, then I forgot to let you do something that you didn't ask me to do. Last Sunday, Brother Colston had a brother visiting with us. Today he has a sister. Won't you come introduce her right quickly, Brother John?
Don't know where Sis is seated, but wherever you are, Alice, would you stand, please? And your son, Tim? Where? Oh, up here in the balcony at the right. Not many people can see you up there. Maybe that's fortunate. And we're just real pleased to have my sister and her son visiting for a few days.
I think we'll all agree Brother Colston has a real way with words, doesn't he? I want to speak this morning on the subject, the secret to my Christian joy. The secret to my Christian joy. I think one of the most interesting and descriptive verses in the Bible of humanity is that verse we read a while ago in Deuteronomy 28:67. In the morning we say, would God it were evening. In the evening we say, would God it were morning. Secret to my Christian joy is in the morning I say, thank God it's morning. In the evening I say, thank God it's evening. At bedtime I say, hallelujah, glory to God, praise the Lord, amen. Time to get up, I can't tell you what I say. As I said, I don't get up in the morning, I get resurrected from the dead every morning. But I want to talk to you for a while about that subject. The secret to my Christian joy. I think I'm beyond average when it comes to being joyful, positive, happy. I think I'm beyond the average, and I want to talk to you this morning about it, and I want you to let me help you if I can. I'm going to use this microphone this morning, and let you... Hey, look at there. Obeyed me this morning. Stayed right there where I put it. Wish everybody do that. Our Heavenly Father, I ask you to help me this morning to share with these whom I love dearly the secret to my joy. And may they glean from what I say this morning a life of joy for themselves. In Jesus' name, amen. I have long believed, and please listen carefully, I want no one leaving, no one walking around. I have long believed that nobody has it worse than anybody else. I have long believed that everything comes out equal in the end. I have long believed that a person that has 10,000 positives in life has 10,000 negatives. I have long believed that a person that has 100 positives in life has 100 negatives. I have believed all of my life that nobody has it worse than anybody else. This thought hit me as a teenage boy sitting on a curb in southwest Dallas in the wee hours one morning when my heart was broken because my daddy had left for good. This is the thought that hit me. Every positive has a corresponding negative, and every negative has a corresponding positive. So my joy depends on which I look at. The negative that accompanies every positive, or the positive that accompanies every negative. I believe that no one here this morning has any more reason to be negative than anybody else. I believe that no one here this morning has any reason to be less happy than anybody else. Because every time you have something good happen to you, son, sit up back here. Hey, sit up. We don't lean and go to sleep here. I got something to tell you. I believe that every positive has a corresponding negative. Now, it all depends on which I look at. Over here, I have a positive. Over here is its corresponding negative. Now, I can live over here on the negative side. It's what I drank for breakfast this morning. Over here, I can live on the positive side. It's up to me. Here's what we do. We can choose to live or to look. I can choose to look at my positive and your negative, or I can choose to look at your positive and my negative. I can choose to look at the good that you have and not the bad that accompanies that good, and every bad accompanies the good. Every birth guarantees a death. Every battle guarantees a victory or a defeat. So I can look at your positive and my negative and be unhappy. Or I can look at my positive and your negative and be happy. I'm saying the grass is not greener on the other side of the fence. The grass on the other side of the fence is exactly like the grass on this side of the fence. Now, this truth that hit me when I was a teenage lad has governed my life. For example, it affected my home life. On the negative side, I had no dad at home. On the negative side, my daddy was gone. On the negative side, my dad did not sit in church with me. On the positive side, hence I was closer to my mother than most boys were. And I had a close tie with my mother the other fellows didn't have. The fellows that had a dad over here were not as close to their mother as I was over here. So I decided as a boy to look at how close I was to my mother and not the fact that I didn't have a daddy. And that's why. But see, your problem is you're over here looking smack dab at your negative when that negative has a positive. There is on the other side a positive at which you can look that can make you happy. That's up to you. For example, it affected my life when I was in the Army. In the paratroopers. Over here on the negative, I had to leave home. The negative
The war was on, and I may have to give my life. But over here on the positive was, I owe something to my country. I wish Mr. Clinton had looked at it that way. That, in case you don't know who he is, that's the draft dodger in the White House, who's the husband of our president. Mr. Clinton, I'm sorry, I'm here. Over here, I have the positive. I get to defend my country. I get to say thank you to America. I get to defend those that I love. I get to say thank you for the freedom my forefathers fought to give to me. So, I can come over here and say, I'm in the army, and look at the negative, or I can come over here and look at the corresponding positive. Now, I've decided to stay over here and not go over there. Now, this morning, I want you to transfer. I want you to realize, if you have a heartbreak in life, there is a positive that is equal to the heartbreak. If you have a positive in life, there is a negative over here, and everybody in this room has as much over here as you have over here. Now, I ask you a question, where are you living today? Are you living over here in the negative and complaining? Or are you living over here in the positive and glorifying God and praising God? Are you living over here and casting your eyes on the negatives? Are you over here and casting your eyes on the positives? Are you over here pouting? Or are you over here shouting? By the way, that's one of the differences in people get excited in church and those that don't. I'm not saying every one of you women ought to get up and say, glory to God, praise the Lord, hallelujah. My wife's never done that. Oh, when she sees me, she does, but I'm not back in church. I'm not saying, but I'm trying to say there's some people this morning who are here saying, glory to God, I'm in church. This is my church. And there's some people this morning over here saying, I wonder when the guy's going to get through. I can tell you exactly when I'm going to get through. When I get ready to get through. But I'm trying to say this morning that over here on this side, we have thousands of people in this room this morning looking at the negative when you have just as big a positive as the negative over here if you come over here on the positive side. same thing affected me in my college life. Over here on this side, I had to work my way through college. I had a wife, and I had to work my way through college. We had boys in our college whose moms and dads mailed their tuition in every month. And they got to go to the gym, play basketball all afternoon. And they got the night off. And they got to go have a big time at night. Well, the truth is, I was over here working by day and by night trying to pay bills. Now, I could have gone over here and said, oh, these guys have got it made. I've got to work my way through college. I'm married. I've got to take a full load. I've got to work 40 hours a week. I'm pastoring a little church up in the country. I'm worked to death. Or I can come over here and say, thank God, when I get my degree, I'll have worked for my degree. I'll have paid for my degree. Now, it's up to what I choose to look at. I can get over here and look at the negative, but I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, there's a positive over there also. Now, it's up to you. The unhappy people here could be happy. And the happy people here could be unhappy. The unhappy people are looking at the negative over here when they have as much positive over there. If you got a pound of negative, you got a pound of positive. You got 10 pounds of negative, you got 10 pounds of positive. You got a ton of negative, you got a ton of positive. I'm saying you have as much a right to shout as you do to pout. You have as much a right to praise as you do to complain. It depends on whether you look at the positive or the negative. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong for your parents to pay your tuition. I'm saying that thank God for it. I'm not saying it's wrong. But I'm saying if your parents can't pay your tuition or won't pay your tuition, stand over here and shout because you got through on your own. This thing affected me when I was a boy. It affected me when I was in the army. It affected me in my college life. It affected my early ministry. Old story. I was preaching at Bob Jones University years ago, back when they'd let me. And when I would. I was preaching at Bob Jones University. I sat on the platform, a student, Bob Jones III, was a student there at the time. And I was envying him and coveting his background. The grandson of Bob Jones Sr. and the son of Bob Jones Jr. What a heritage of having the great evangelist, Bob Jones Sr., one of the greatest men I ever met in my life. He was his grandson. He grew up in that atmosphere. My daddy was an alcoholic. And I felt like a little old shaggy Heinz 57 variety dog looking at a poodle dog in a dog show. After it's all over, Dr. Bob III, after the service over, I'd spoken. Dr. Bob Jones III said, "Dr. Howes, could I drive you over to the dining hall to eat, please?" I said, "Sure." He put in his little car, drove across the campus. He said, "Could I talk to you before we get out of the car?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Dr. Howes, I want you to know I envy you." "You envy me?" I mean, a pedigree dog envying a scoundrel? A pedigree dog envying a little Heinz 57? "You envy me?" He said, "I envy you." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because your dad was a drunkard and alcoholic." I said, "What in the world are you talking about?" He said, My dad was Dr. Bob Jr., my granddad, the great evangelist, and everybody expects me to be something. And nobody expected you to be anything. You can rise to where you weren't expected to rise. Whatever I do, it won't surprise anybody. I envy you, and I decided to trot over here to this side of the platform." I said, "Well, bless God, you little piddling fellow, you ought to envy me. My dad was an alcoholic. But praise God, I had the joy to rise out of the ghettos of Southwest Dallas and become a preacher. I'm saying, okay, I can go over here and say my dad was an alcoholic. I go over here and say it gave me a chance to rise above it." Ladies and gentlemen, we have enough complaining, enough griping, enough negative. Get over there. You got something over here as positive as that negative over there. It all depends on what you decide to look at. That same thing's affected my battles. I have more enemies than any preacher in America. I also have more friends. Now, I got a choice to make. Oh my, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Oh my soul, so many hate me. Oh, fooey. I got folks over here that are my friends. No preacher in America's got as many friends as I've got. I'm talking about real, proven, tested, and tried friends. I'm not going to go over here and pout because I got a bunch of enemies. I'm going to go over here and shout because I got a bunch of friends. That's time you moved. Pack up your duds and move over here on the positive side. Well, you don't know my burden. I know your grace that's available from God. It's affected my self-esteem. I don't use that word much, but that term much, but it's not a bad word. See, in this world, I'm a nut. I was on the bus the other day riding O'Hare Field back to the Highland place. This gal across the aisle from me looked over. She kept looking at me. Well, that's no surprise. Most good-looking women look at me. But she kept looking at me. She said, "Don't I know you?" And I said, "I don't know. I'm Brother Howes, pastor of First Baptist Church." "Oh. Oh. I'm a nut down here. So I can sit up here and say, it will be worth it all. I'm a nut. I'm a fanatic." Or I can go over here and say up there, they like me real well. Can't. Or a cottage? Why should I care? They're building a mansion for me over there. I'm trying to tell you, I'd rather be popular over here than and then popular over here. I'm not going to say over here. Well, I'm going to. No, sir, brother. When I get out yonder in this old area, I throw my shoulders back. I throw my chest out. I pull my head high and say, my name is Jack Hiles, H-Y-L-E-S, pastor of First Baptist Church, B-A-P-T-I-S-D, Hammond, Indiana, chancellor of Hiles Anderson College, H-Y-L-E-S-A-N-D-E-R-S-O-N-C-O-L-L-E-D-G-E. I'm chancellor of Hiles Anderson College. I'm not going to sit over here and look at the negative when just over there's a positive just as big as the negative over here. It'll change your life. It'll change your life. I have the largest church in America. So, that's my positive. That means I got more headaches than anybody in America. Had a little stomach ache not long ago, years ago. I said, oh, I'm troubled my stomach. Dr. Streeter said, you think you have an ulcer? I said, no, I think I have a church. It affects you the same way. Okay, I over here am wherever preacher boy in this room wants to be someday. I am, pardon me for saying it, as far as churches go, I'm at the top of the ladder. And as far as looks go, the same thing. I'm at the top of the ladder. Now, am I going to sit over here and say, oh, the load I've got to carry, the burden? No, sir, bless God. I'm going to go over here and say, I am at the top of the rung. Not that I'm the greatest preacher in the world, but I have the position of pastoring the greatest church in the world, and I believe the greatest church in the history of Christianity. Brother, I'm not going to go over there and say it will be worth it all. I'm going to go over here and say it is now worth it all. It's up to you. You folks over here, negative. You don't understand what I'm going through. I understand one thing. There's something over there that's good just as big as this bad thing over here. I fought more battles than any preacher in America. So over here I could, oh, I'm just weary of fighting. That means I've won more victories than the preacher in America. Now, shall I look at the victories over here or the battles over here? Shall I look at the fact that that bear chased me and almost killed me or the fact that his head's hanging in my office? Oh, I wish I could come out there and grab you and shake you good and hard. I wish I could grab you negative people. I wish I could stop and tell you, I don't care what as bad has happened to you. Over there on that side, there's something good corresponding and equal to what was here on this side. It depends on what you look at. I've had more heartbreak than you have. Any of you? I've had more heartbreak. I would not be surprised what I've had more heartbreak than any preacher that stands behind the pulpit in America. But over here, I've seen more of the grace of God. I choose to rejoice because of the grace of God and not be negative because of the heartbreak. I choose to come on this side over here and look at the positive that always accompanies the negative and not go over here on this side and look at the negative that always accompanies the positive. You have a choice to make. You single ladies never married, you have a choice to make. Choice of living alone, you can look at that. I wish I had a husband. Or the choice being over here with one. I wish I didn't have a husband. You single ladies today that are 40, 35, 40, 45 years old, not married? See me after the service. I got an equal amount of ladies that'll give you the guy they got. And pay you a little extra. I am so tired of people saying, oh my, this burden is more than I can bear. Well, get off mother and get over there where the burden bearer lives. Don Boyd had a choice to make.
And the doctor said, you've got cancer in your eye, and you've got to have an eye taken out, and that last eye placed there. Don Boyd had a choice to make. He had a choice to live over here or live over there. Don Boyd had a choice to live over here and complain the rest of his life, or come over here and shout the rest of his life because one eye is good and because he has friends that love him and a bunch of high school kids that love the guy and a church that stands beside him. And bless God, everything else is okay in his body. He had a choice to make, the same choice you have. Look over here. Oh, I've just got one eye. Over here, I've got the goodness and grace of God. Over here, it's tough, it's rough. Over here, my name is written in heaven. I choose to live over here. Ms. Evans had a choice to make. Doctor said it's cancer. And again, she went to the doctor, and the doctor said, but the news was bad. Over here, Ms. Evans can sit the rest of her life and do nothing and rot at home in a rocking chair. Or she can come over here and she can say, I have an opportunity to show the goodness of God like few people in the world have. She chose to live over here. Randy Rogers had a choice to make. And has a choice to make. Young man, prime of his life. A painter, ran a painting business. Painting 20 feet high on a scaffold one day and lost his footing and fell over and paralyzed from here down. And maybe the rest of his life. Over here he can say, well, I can't paint anymore. I can't make a living for my family anymore. Over here he can say, I have friends like I didn't realize I had. I love my church like I never loved my church. I know the goodness of God like I never knew the goodness of God before. And Randy Rogers has chosen to live over here and not over there. Because every good has a corresponding bad, and every bad has a corresponding good. It's up to you where you choose to live. No such thing as people that can be happier than other people. There are people that choose to be happier than other people. Tim and Betty McCurdy had a choice to make. Whether to lament the fact that their boy may never be normal, may never say, I love you, Daddy, I love you, Mother, may never go to school for one day, never play on a basketball team, never get his diploma from high school, never go to Howells Henderson College, never graduate, never give them a grandchild, or come over here and say, we've learned the goodness of God. And they can praise God for his goodness, or they can go over there and complain. But I want to tell you again, everybody in this room this morning has the same load over here that you have over here. And for every negative there, you've got a positive the same size over here. It's not the conditions of your life that make you unhappy. It's whether you choose to look at the positive or the corresponding negative that makes you unhappy or happy. I'll be 70. That's old. Real old. That's what I'm going to do tonight. Announce resignation. I'm going to get me. I bought my Bermuda shorts already. I bought my shuffleboard. Ms. Howells has her shorts. We're going to Florida. I can come over here and say, I wonder how long I've got. Billy Sunday was dead in his 69 before his 70. Charles Spurgeon was dead before his 70. John Bunyan was dead before he was 70. H. Ironsides died about 70. And so did G.B. Vick died about 70. J. Frank North died about 70. I guess I'm about ready to go. I can come over here and say, boy, I'm the most active 69-year-old man you ever saw in your life. Man, if I didn't have a calendar, I'd think I was 35. I'm getting rid of it. I have for 52 years lived by this truth. As a high school boy,
with a drunkard dad living in poverty with my poverty-stricken mother. As a paratrooper called to the United States Army in World War No. 2. As a college student working my way through college and supporting my wife and myself. As a young preacher in East Texas. As a pastor that's fought battle after battle after battle after battle. I have decided to keep my eyes focused on the positive over here. This morning, if you're sitting over here discouraged and blue, depressed, I want to tell you something, and it's as true as the fact that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. You have as much over there to shout about as you do over here to pout about. You have as much over there to praise about as you do over here to have self-pity about. There's nobody in this room this morning who has it any worse than anybody else. For every heavy burden that you have over here on this side, God has placed a heavy blessing equal to that burden over there on that side. It's up to you. It's up to you. Stay over here.
I just don't know how I'm going to take it. It's more than I can bear. I can't face tomorrow.
Folks over there are going to face tomorrow. And they got as many sad things in their life as you do. Every time we read those announcements a while ago. Baby born. When that baby was born, a death was born. Sorrow was born. Pain was born. Heartache was born. And with every single negative, there's a positive. And you folks that don't have any children, you'll never have dirty handprints on the towels. That is, if you can divorce your husband. You'll never have any dirty diapers to change. You won't have to stay up at night and feel a fevered brow or go to the hospital like the Hardys are this morning with a baby that's very ill. You'll never have your heart broken because of a daughter who gets pregnant before she's married. Now you can say over here, we won't have any children. Or you can say over here, go over here and say, we're going to look at the positive side of that. Now, I don't know what you're going to do, and I'm through now. I don't know what you're going to do. You can sit over there if you want to, spend your whole life just looking at that one side, but I want you to know right across the fence, bless God, there is a joy and a blessing as big as your burden is over here. And every time your burden gets bigger over here, your positive gets bigger over there. Let's just pack up and move. Leave no call Mayflower movers and leave no forwarding address. And say, I'm going to go over here and live my life looking at the positive side instead of going over there looking at the negative side. Our Heavenly Father,